Welcome to The Journey Expressed, where we talk about faith, friendship, and the more of God. I'm Mel Boyd, and with me is my fabulous friend and co-host, Jen Houston.
Oh, Mel, hey. It's so good to be back with you and our listeners.
So welcome back to The Journey Expressed. We are back in our three-part series called Tending Our Roots. These episodes are an intro to our brand new series coming this fall called Becoming Whole, Body, Soul, and Spirit. So Jen, would you kick us off today?
Yeah, for the formal intro to all of this and the backstory, you can check that out in the previous episode of where it came from and why we're doing this, but it's a pretty cool God story. So I really want to catch our listeners really up to speed, and the reason for the topic tending our roots came from a show that I was watching with my husband called From the Source. And like I mentioned last week, it follows a chef who has a restaurant in Asheville called Curate, and you should go to the restaurant because it's amazing. And the show has the tagline, tend your roots, the people, places, and practices that nurture you. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, ooh, there's something faith-based to that that Mel and I could discuss in our friendship and here on this podcast. And so that's what we're here to do today. Last week, we talked about tending our spiritual roots and what grounds us spiritually. We talked about the only way to be made whole is through Christ. Mm-hmm. He offers complete wholeness from the get-go. As soon as you say yes and surrender your life to Him, there's wholeness available to you. Our life and our journey on this planet is apprehending that. What does that mean for my body? What does that mean for my soul, my relationships, my finances, my health, my, you know, spirituality? All of these things is really us learning how to become whole. Mm-hmm. You know, it's available to us. It's finished. Jesus said His work is finished. Mm-hmm. So we're on this journey of really apprehending that and becoming whole. So we're just kind of here to lay a little bit of a foundation before we do the deep dive into our series coming up this fall, like Mel said. But we do want to talk about the practices, the places, and the people that nurture us and form us. So this week, we're going to be focusing on what is our soul and how to tend the roots of our soul. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's the part of us who wants to rule or to be in charge. And some people use the word flesh interchangeably. It's like, my flesh is weak, you know, my spirit is strong. And so it's that part of us that really, honestly, I'll get to this in a minute, but needs to be broken in a sense so that our spirit can come alive and fully rule and reign. You know, this is the part of us that is eternal. You know, our bodies are temporal and they will turn back into dust, but we are eternal beings. And so what we're talking about today is tending the roots of the eternal part of who we are. Mm-hmm. There's a quote that I found that says, there's often confusion about the human spirit versus the human soul. In places, scripture seems to use the terms interchangeably, but there might be a subtle difference. Otherwise, how could the word of God penetrate even to dividing soul and spirit? And that's from Hebrews 4:12. And I'll have this quote from Got Questions in our show notes. Susan Hill, we referenced her last time, says, the soul's need for redemption and restoration is the subject of countless books and sermons, but few talk about the problem of an underdeveloped spirit. And that's our main avenue for hearing God's voice. The soul often rules over the spirit as we try to live the Christian life. And the fullness of that quote will be in our show notes, but just for the sake of delineating between soul and spirit, I wanted to read that out again. John Paul Jackson, who has gone on to be with the Lord, but I have gleaned so much from his teachings on dreams, visions of the night, and so many other aspects of our faith. John Paul Jackson says, we learn at infancy that if we make a fuss about what we want, it will be given to us. And in various ways, we build on that understanding as we grow into adulthood. Through the natural process of life, our souls strengthen. They become dense and thick like stone. The more we rely on ourselves, our own understanding and perspective, the less we resemble God. This is why the spirit must rule over the soul. It's the part of us that comes alive when we meet Jesus. It's the part of us that's like him, his seed, and that which makes us the children of God. When the spirit is in control, we will be much more apt to think, feel, and act as our Father thinks, feels, and acts. So why is it important to tend the roots of our soul? So that it is not leading, because its natural bent is to lead.
Yes.
So we got to figure out where our soul is rooted, tend those roots, make sure they're healthy, and not codependent on people. And we'll get into that. Mel, do you have anything?
Yeah, I just had this thought that, you know, do you remember, I guess maybe back in the 50s, like maybe more our parents' era or whatever, that it was kind of like children need to be seen and not heard, you know, kind of pushed away kind of thing. And but that's not the case anymore. And it, but children need boundaries and, you know, maturity and things like that. And I think I feel like in the church that was kind of caught in the past where like our soul is, you know, seen and not heard and not spirit wonderful, but soul not good, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no, it's just that our soul needs to come in line with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Our soul is good. God has made our soul. It's beautiful. But that it just needs to, it needs maturity. It needs growth. But to value our soul.
Yeah.
So I just felt like I needed to say that. I don't know. That just came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like, and I think I'll read another quote in a little bit, but it's like this: the soul part of us is the part, it's our mind, will, and emotions. And we can either break and humble ourselves before the Lord, or he will break and humble us before him. At the end of the age, at the end of all of our lives, we will stand before him and give an account for what we have chosen every day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part of who we are that's going to give an account. And so I just think that there's something, what you just said reminds me a little bit of Andrew Brunson, who is a missionary, and he was imprisoned in Turkey. And he said the first year he was in prison, the Lord broke him down. You got to listen to his book or read his book, y'all. It is compelling. The second year he was in prison, the Lord built him back up. And what I gleaned from his story was he had to go through that year to really surrender his soul, break it open and submit it in beauty before the Lord.
Yeah.
So that God could build him back up through his spirit. And like you said, alignment. It's all in alignment. Our spirit should lead.
Yes.
And our soul should be like the tail. I think Graham Cook says that. The soul should not be the nose.
Right.
Sniffing out and leading the way. It should be the tail wagging behind, responding to how we're being led by the spirit. I hope this isn't confusing and crazy and chaotic, but this is how Mel and I have been able to make sense of all the things that we have tried to learn in this process. So just a couple ways to recognize if your soul is wounded and you can't get past something, that's an area to say, I should pause here and tend this root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one way that we know if we're harboring unforgiveness is if we're not able to bless someone and imagine them living a abundant and full life, we know that there's unforgiveness there, and that can cause a root of bitterness in our soul. And so I think it's appropriate to say it's really good to pause and take an inventory of what is going on, what is triggering us in our hearts and in our life and our soul, what is triggering us and getting us agitated and short with people. Obviously, take an inventory. Are you rooted in something in your soul that needs to be uprooted?
Yeah.
Mel, do you have anything?
Yeah, we're at church. We're going through this study. It's a book called Pathway to Powerful. It's by Carla Judd, but it's with alongside Danny Silk. And I just want to pause for a second. And there are so many resources out there, Jen, for soul healing.
Yeah.
And there are so many wonderful resources, but I just want to stop and say, you go to the Lord, and ask him his direction for you, because we are all created uniquely. And there are wonderful tools out there, but it can get very, very, we've used the word overwhelming, and even distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be given tools, but I think the most important is that, you know, we're as believers, we hear his voice. So to go to him and say, okay, where do you want me to go with this?
Mm-hmm.
What book do you want me to read? Yes, it's a relationship. So he speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that because, again, it can get real, you know, cloudy when you're like, yeah, but someone's recommending this and mm-hmm. someone's recommending that. And just to make it very clear, you know, and just to know that, hey, okay, this is the path that the Lord has me on in this. Mm-hmm. But I did want to say, in saying that, there's a tool called sozo, and sozo is the Greek word that means saved, delivered, and healed. It's a word in Scripture, and it's also a tool that's used for inner healing, and it's in this book, Pathway to Powerful. We just did this exercise last night. It was very, I'll just say it was very powerful and freeing, but it's when, Jen, you were alluding to this, you recognize when you're triggered,
mm-hmm.
and then you also stop and say, okay, what's the lie that I believed? And then you ask, okay, what's the memory attached to this? And then you stop, and if you need to, you might need to repent, you might need to stop and forgive,
mm-hmm.
go through forgiveness, even of yourself. And then you ask the Lord for the truth.
Mm.
And it is a simple
mm-hmm.
tool, but it's very powerful and very freeing because it's amazing how God will replace that lie with the truth. So I just mm-hmm. wanted to mention that.
Well, honestly, Mel, that reminds me of a story kind of spontaneously here. A couple of years ago, well, actually, when I was a child.
When I was a wee child.
I remember we were on a road trip back to Florida, I believe it was. And we were in the car. I was with my sister and my parents. And somehow I got reprimanded and there was a rift. And I just remember, you know, I was arguing with my mom about something. And it could have been that, you know, I was too close to my sister's side of the car in the back. You know, I have no clue what it was. I'm sure I began the issue. And I just remember, like, kind of head to head with my mom, and I was just, like, frustrated, and she was ready to finish the argument and be done, and I wasn't. And she, you know, ended the argument by just turning her head away, and she looked out the window and said, "Look at those beautiful azaleas. They're just so lovely. I love azaleas." And I hated azaleas from that point on in my life.
Wow. Yeah.
I literally was like, azaleas are the ugliest shrub I've ever seen. And Mel, I'm like, for real, for years, I couldn't even tell you for years why I didn't like azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that just rooted and got down in me a little seed of bitterness at that moment over some childish little thing that I was arguing with my mom about. Well, when I was an adult, I kind of went through this process that you just described, and that's when I had this aha moment. I was like, why do I hate azaleas? They're like gorgeous. They like shout spring and beauty. And I did that process of discovery. There was a root in my soul that had been wounded, and I was latched onto that moment and that memory, and it was affecting my visual gaze
mm-hmm.
of what was defining beauty for me.
Wow.
So I did that process, and I live to tell about it, and I offer that as a testimony to say it's real. You know, trace it, face it, and erase it.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of being set free in your soul, and the whole point of your soul being set free is to have communion with God,
yeah.
for your spirit to really be able to lead, to hear God's voice and all that. So that's the point. We like to say, what's the point? Why are we talking about these things?
Right.
That's the point. Yep. Attending the roots of our soul is to make sure that we can stay in union with the Lord, that there's nothing that separates us.
That's right. So last time we talked about strengthening our spirits, but today we want to encourage you to go after areas in your soul, mind, will, and emotions that hinder you from connecting with God and people in a healthy way.
Mm.
And, you know, just a few examples. We mentioned sozo as a tool, but also there's counseling. Sometimes when trauma comes up, you know, it's wonderful to chat with a friend, but there are things that need to be done in counseling.
Mm-hmm, with a professional.
With a professional. I firmly believe that. Pastoral care, also being vulnerable with friends, that accountability there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think are ways that, mm-hmm. you know, to go after our the health of our souls.
Yeah.
One other thing that we didn't mention, just to mention, is something called soul ties. Mm-hmm. Some people have heard this phrase, others have not. There is an amazing podcast. It's called Wild at Heart. It's John Eldridge. And we are going to put the link in the show notes. But there is, I think it's a three-parter. Mm-hmm. And he goes into soul ties. Mm-hmm. There's healthy soul ties, and there's actually unhealthy soul ties. Mm-hmm. And he goes through how to break off unhealthy soul ties. Mm-hmm. And so I've done that in my life, and it's been very powerful and very freeing. And mm-hmm. you have too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's another thing. Again, we'll put these references in our show notes. So thank you. Again, Jen, thank you for putting this, just your heart and soul.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
into this teaching.
Oh, yeah.
It's been so good.
Thanks,
so thank you, Jen. So thank you for listening to this episode. And we are looking forward to you coming back next week for part 3. Thank you so much for joining us on the Journey Expressed.